Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Sunday, the 28th of March, recording at 6:24 p.m. British Standard Time. This audio is devoted entirely to subscribers' comments of general interests. Here we go, from Matthew. Hi David, your work is great and has been instrumental in my education of markets. Thank you very much. I was wondering if you'd offer a few ideas with respect to where professional investors running their own capital on the side could open up a brokerage account and get access to global markets. Obviously Goldman Sachs and the like have access, but I don't care to give them my dollars. Do you have an opinion on this? Tough question. I can only tell you what I do because I live in the UK and there's a tax savings with spread betting. I do almost all of my activities, my speculative activities, in spread betting. I then have several self-administered pension funds and I tend to deal there with a couple of contacts who I've just known for an awfully long time, really. Costs more in terms of the actual overall commissions, but I kind of prefer a friendly voice on the other end of the line. I haven't gone the route yet of the online broking, although no doubt I will for some things at some stage, and I think that's probably a good facility. Then there are the tax-effective ISA accounts, and I find that least satisfactory overall in terms of broking. While those are small accounts by definition, where you can put in £7,000 per annum for yourself and various members of your family. I've done this for my wife and myself for years. They do add up, of course, over time, and especially if you're managing them reasonably successfully. So that becomes, quite quickly a medium-sized account. But I find that every time you go on with these ISA accounts to the brokers, you get a different person each time. You have to go through a security check, and I certainly find all that tedious overall. So it's very much a personal choice, but in answer to your question, though, Matthew, I think it's probably pretty much a trade-off between an online broking facility or perhaps dealing with friends or contacts. Now, this comment comes in really from, or question comes in from a number of people. Per your comment of March 25, would you consider posting Chris Roberts' CLSA report in its entirety, particularly since you've so highly recommended it? Yes, I have done that. That was my mistake. And I did that relatively late, I needed to head out of the office on a deadline, and I forgot to put the link up, but I did so the following day, so many, many apologies for that error. Bob says, you've referred to the Invesco Global Strategy Fund as being managed by Howard Flight. I'll just interject at this stage, Bob, that clearly that was a flight of fancy. And Bob then corrects me and says the Investec Global Strategy Energy Fund, managed by Tim Guinness, presumably the Guinness of Guinness Flight, is the only one matching your description in the, and he says, lousy Investec website. Is this the same fund you are talking about, Bob? Indeed it is, and thank you for pointing that out. I have trouble with names and sometimes confuse my children's names on that, but that's no excuse. I'll try to do better. John writes, I think you and your team have done a very good job in recreating the website, even though I cannot access the audio at work, which was my only complaint in your survey. I especially enjoy the subscribers forum, even though it's only 1 to 2 days old. Keep up the good work. It's appreciated. Well, that comes from an institutional subscriber. Incidentally, in looking through these, I think that these are probably about 60% from institutional subscribers, which is pretty much in line with the weighting of my subscriptions. Well, maybe they're a little bit higher in terms of maybe 65% institutional and the rest private investors. And but coming back to this, can't access the audio at work. I've had several people who are with big companies say that, and it's for security reasons, and they have firewalls. And it really is a shame. The only thing I would suggest, what one firm does, I know, is that they have a dedicated computer where research reports, which are sometimes blocked on the main system, as people are fear viruses and whatever, come through to this dedicated computer, which is not set up to the main corporate systems. But personally, we're as concerned about security as anyone at StockCube Research. And we have a lot of IT specialists here, but I think it's overkill on the part of many of these institutions to block audios, known audios, and to block research reports. And Rob says, maybe I'm being dumb about this. Am I expecting to be able to find a consistent library set of the core world chart indices accompanied by your current view, a sort of online replacement for the Fuller Money and Fuller Money Plus? He's referring to the old hard copy, of course. The charts you refer to are the Bloombergs, which I can pull up while online, and not that quick, as unbelievably broadband not available in Leafly Merchiston, that I think I can disclose is a nice suburb of Edinburgh. And yeah, he says, as I think I am still in withdrawal from Fuller Money as I used to know it, which gave me a global package which I could use at my timetable. I don't think I have yet found a way to use what you are now doing in the way that works for me. What am I missing? Well, I know that chap who's an old friend and has been really a subscriber of mine to various services since 1970, and I answered, I certainly don't think you're being dumb about this. It is indeed unfortunate, not to mention a disgrace, that broadband is not available in Murchison. All I can say is lobby BT, because it is a commercial decision, perhaps based on some stereotypical assumption that all Scots, including the faux variety, are too tight to want broadband. Well, I can say that because there are a lot of Grahams in my family line. Most reservations about the new service come from gentlemen of a certain age, namely mine, and also a few of the people who have been subscribing longest. If we like something, we are change resistant, myself included. However, the Fuller Money service is now much more comprehensive, and I'm adding more new features. The forum will grow rapidly as a library of interesting institutional research, in addition to subscribers' views and insights. I'll add a search engine next. You now have the entire contents of the last few years' output available on your PC or laptop. The charts are much bigger and better quality, but broadband is needed for speed. Point and figure charts of necessity appear in a PDF format, which takes a little longer to open. Naturally, I hope that you will soon have broadband and find a time need compromise that enables you to benefit from the new service. The entire hard copy market letter industry has been, in gentle decline for years because it is so limited and dated. My business risked dying out with my generation. Fortunately, under the new format, subscriptions are climbing at a rate not seen for over 15 years, and those earlier sales had been achieved with the help of considerable advertising. The online Fuller Money format has turned that decline around, and it's all coming in from the site and referrals. Crucially for me, I know I do my best work in this format. Well, also on the subscriptions, what the industry has found is that prior to the internet usage and the sending out of PDF format copy, that when there was only hard copy available, for instance, I can think of a number of institutions, I could name a couple of dozen of them, that took many multiple subscriptions, anything from 5 to 30. And once the internet became widely used, that was cut right back, because obviously they were being passed around within the firm. Even though there's copyright on that, it's still something that's very difficult to prevent. But as the whole field is growing and developing, I think that you see the popularity of various different online services, and it's understandable that those are going to be more flexible and more useful for many people. But there is a problem in terms of the changeover. I spend a lot more time producing it. If you listen and read everything that I produce, you'll spend a lot more time than with the old hard copy. So it's strike a balance and pick up what you want. The people who are mostly interested in a long-term overview go to the Friday audios, which will do just that, and will scan the copy that comes in the emails or on the website, and if they think that any of those topics are going to interest them, then they'll look in a little bit more closely. And I know in the subscribers area, if I have an investment or trade decision, I will mention it there too, so that you don't have to sit through a long audio if you don't wish to. Now, Christopher says, having encountered some difficulty in being able to place speculative positions on LME metals, I inquired of a representative of SG Warrants where they might cover such products in their list of covered warrants. Apparently, SG Warrants would be able to issue covered warrants on practically anything if persuaded of a good case. I believe there are attractions in using these instruments in preference to spread bets. Any gains are subject to tax, but there is no stamp duty, and some brokers are currently charging nominal fees. Moreover, spreads are tiny. If you feel they might be worth considering, you might want to call any of the SG Warrants team of four on 020-7762-5060. That's a London number. And then Christopher adds, more on covered warrants from Andrew McCatty, who seems to be the most authoritative advocate of them in the UK. Puts a telephone number, which I'll repeat, 0117-925-8882. Interestingly, there is also a warrants unit trust that McCatty runs. I continue to enjoy your audio interpretation of investing. Its contribution to Fuller Money is riveting. Well, warrants. I'm not a warrants person. That says nothing about warrants, but it says and does say something about me. But I'm interested to hear this, so it was certainly worth reading through. Colin says, I'm finding it very difficult to choose stop levels for futures, so I wonder if you would care to expand your previous comments on this vital subject. Twice recently I was stopped out when the market descended exactly to my stop and then shot up again. So now I have trailing stops designed to avoid corrections of the size which have occurred previously in that futures contract. The trouble is, they are so loose that I don't see how I'll ever push them up to be in the money, stops as you so often seem to have. So in reality, they're not much protection. On the other hand, they are still tight enough that I still risk being stopped out artificially. Now, gosh, you know, I could talk all day, and so could many of you on this subject. There just isn't a short answer. There isn't an easy answer. The stop is an insurance policy, and like all insurance policies, they cost money. And the money that they cost is that you can very easily get stopped out of things on minor moves, or if it's a temporary aberration, and then the market runs again in the original direction that or in the initial direction that you're hoping for. If we abandon the insurance, we avoid that risk and save some money. But just like the necessary insurance that you carry on your house and contents, if lightning does strike or something goes wrong with the wiring or the place burns down for some other reason, and it'll be pretty uncomfortable if you're not actually covered. So, where to actually place the stops? The choice is between financial stops, that's your pain threshold, and technical stops. If you're using financial stops, you're going to be stopped out a lot of the time, unless the market, and the exceptions, the only exceptions to that will be when your timing is absolutely spot on and the market just takes off in your favor. Now, I just don't feel that there's an easy answer on this, as I've said before already. So it is easier if you're dealing with a trending market. Then you can look at the trend and you can see what have been normal reactions within that trend. There might be a high degree of consistency. The more powerful the trend, probably the smaller or more consistent the reactions will be in terms of size. And you can use that, if there's a high degree of commonality in terms of the reactions, you can base your stop on that plus a little bit more. In other words, so that it keeps you in if you get another normal, in inverted commas, reaction within that trend, which isn't going to cause many people to panic, but takes you out if you get something a bit bigger. But I find I try to use technical stops for the most part, but then I might get nervous because of other factors. That happened to me recently, about a month or so ago, with some of the metals. I jammed up my stops because I was worried about the dollar rally having an adverse knock-on effect, and it did to a certain extent, and stopped me out of couple of those positions. One's right where I got stopped out. It hasn't gone anywhere any further, so I'm not troubled by that. But the other one, tin, just took off again and ran on the upside. So we've all gone through this same problem with stops. But overall, there is no. When I'm repeating this for the third time, so I promise to stop there. There is no easy answer on this. I'm inclined to try to use technical stops based on the chart. And if that isn't in line with, for instance, if I see a breakout, if I'm buying after a breakout, then I certainly want to be stopped out if we get any clear evidence of a failed breakout. And you can find that level on the chart. I do find psychologically it's good that if I pick something up and it goes into profit relatively soon, I will often use or introduce a break-even stop on that trade, particularly if it's a market that's trending. Now, a break-in, if I do that very early on in the trade, then that stop may be closer than I would otherwise like, or closer than might be ideal. But if it's really going to go well, it'll probably continue going. If it's going to be a little bit more choppy, well, then I'm going to be shaken out. And that's, so there's a little bit of a quality control factor there as well. But I often get stopped out of positions and then find that the stop was either too tight or it was just some news development that caused temporary aberration and shook me out. But where I've lost the most money is when I haven't used stops, or I've been increasing a position in something that had lost its trend consistency, and I just believed or hoped that the previous trend would reassert itself, or that the turn that I was looking for would actually occur. So, bottom line, if I don't use stops with leveraged positions, it's because it's a very small leveraged position that I've opened, but more often than not, I will use a stop every time, and certainly once it starts to go in my direction, and if I'm considering adding to that position, building up gradually, in other words, I will introduce a break-even stop relatively early on. I'm sure I'll be coming back to this subject over and over again. But everybody, I know this is no consolation column, everybody I've ever spoken to, including lots of professional traders, will just say, I think, the same thing, that this issue of stops is a big problem. Again, think of it as, try to rationalize it as the insurance policy. It's going to cost you money a fair amount of the time, but should protect you against any bad accidents. Okay, name unknown on this one. Please have David's daily commentary in MP3 format so that we can download. Now, I think this is the audio that's being referred to. Yes, definitely. So let me start again. Please have David's daily audio in MP3 format so we can download and record on CD to hear it on the go, as in the car, etc. I think this is extremely convenient and useful for us who have more time in the car than in front of the laptop at night. Any information is appreciated. Well, we are definitely going to do that. It won't be in the next few days, but we have been researching this, and one of the problems was how can I record in real audio player, because of course a number of people do have that and will prefer to continue with that, but then also have it automatically processed on our site into the MP3 format so that you can download that onto your computer or onto a CD, as this person is saying, via the computer, and play it at your leisure. This will be available, and I think we're talking weeks rather than months. It's a good suggestion, and I do want to follow up on that. Lindsay says, David, sorry to trouble you, but with regards to the industrial metals, my spread bedding firm does not carry zinc, lead, etc. It also only carries the near month on gas oil, etc. Would you be able to tell me which firm you use, as they seem to have a better spread of contracts? Thanks in anticipation for your guidance. Well, Lindsay, I had to hammer away with my spread bettors on this, and most of these, well, certainly with the metals, they're dealing on a contract to contract basis. In other words, I have to deal in at least a one contract, and they just go to the LME broker and pick that up and pass it on to me, adding a commission, which is fine by me. I would suggest you speak to James at City Index, and that telephone number, it's an 020-7861-555. Name unknown on this one. Last Thursday, so I haven't taken these in any exact sequence, but this is the 18th. You stated that 18th of March, you stated that you would buy crude oil the next day, or gasoline perhaps, though you have made comments related to the oil market and other related markets, gasoline, heating oil, etc. It has been unclear whether or not you actually are long the oil sector. Well, let me take that one first. This is one of two. I have subsequently, I mentioned in the subsequent audio that I had bought gasoline, and I bought July gasoline. I'm actually losing a little bit of money in it at the moment. The second question is other softs you have mentioned. Coffee a few months back. Curious if you personally have thoughts on coffee at the current time or others in the commodity patch, orange juice, sugar, and cotton. I did mention coffee, and then I missed an upside move and was reluctant to follow because the pattern has been very, very choppy. I wasn't looking at it every day, but it looked to me like a big Type 3 base formation. I mean, we really had several years of ranging at historically depressed prices. The reason for that is that there's plenty of coffee around. Now, I looked at the chart while preparing this, and it looks to me like coffee might be ranging in what I refer to in the chart seminar as the first step above the base. Not sure on this yet, and has come back recently. It's a choppy pattern overall, so maybe it's coming into a buying range, but I'm finding it easy to resist. And I'll look at lots of things that interest me and then be selective and play comparatively few of them. I'm never terribly worried about letting opportunities get away from me, but I don't like making too many mistakes, although you have to risk making some mistakes if you're going to. You have to you have to speculate to accumulate in this business. Orange juice, which I was asked about, very, very depressed, incredibly depressed, but I still see no evidence that this market has bottomed, and it does trade in a contango, so it's expensive to hold if it's just drifting gradually lower. Sugar, these soft commodities are tricky. See, I'm generally a little bit wary to get into these. These are such weather punts. And sugar, I noticed, had just was again was incredibly cheap, and then it just rocketed from 5.5 cents to 7 and 7.25 cents in a month, and then it just got absolutely hammered and fell back incredibly quickly. Just in just 2 or 3 days to 6.09, so a little bit too choppy for me overall. And lastly, cotton, which is still unwinding in accelerated advance. Cotton bottomed several years ago at a very depressed level, went into a nice staircase upward trend that's characterized by lots of ranging phases, then sideways ranging, then another step up, and so on. Then it went into a big accelerated advance in September, October 2003. That's always an ending acceleration. And that was on top of a very substantial recovery. So it's still unwinding that, but is approaching some potential support near the 60-cent level. Again, I find them all easy to resist. I may get a little bit more interested when we get into the U.S. growing season, and if anything starts to go wrong with the crops, that will provide some more possibilities. That would affect orange juice, possibly sugar, quite probably cotton, not coffee, obviously, because the U.S. doesn't produce any coffee. But I think, bottom line, these commodities are all pretty cheap, and I don't expect them to stay down at these levels. But it's tricky. It's tricky dealing in them. There's no doubt about it. They're the most volatile things in the markets. I mean, I've been running the corn and the soybeans, as you know, and I probably should have taken my profits when the gains were really quite persistent, instead of using a trailing stop. And there's now, although I've got in the money stops, quite a high risk that I will be stopped out of those long positions with far less of a profit than I could have grabbed a week or so ago. Now, this is from James. As a man of limited attention span, I have to confess to finding your audio commentaries a little long. I really enjoy them and think they are fantastic, but find myself diverted before the end. Would it be possible to perhaps split them a little more, perhaps themed into equities, commodities, currencies, other, etc.? Well, James, we're going to have to agree on a compromise on this. First, that would increase my time an awful lot, and while it would be more easy for me to justify that at the if a lot of people were going to be convenienced by that, what it would lose is a very important theme of mine, which is the interrelationships of markets, which I get to talk about. So maybe I'll just try to be a little bit more precise in my comments. There's never any harm in trying to do that, and I will do more special audios in the future. For instance, this one is devoted entirely to letters, and the Friday audio is devoted particularly to the long term, and I may introduce other specialist audios as well. So thanks for the comment. Thank you all for these comments. We're near the end. William says, please pass this on to David. I am most disappointed that he no longer writes a monthly letter. Why? I believe that the exercise yields sharper thinking and results in a better product. It should be longer term in nature, as the day-to-day voice and written comments tend to be more short term in nature. Maybe he should consider once a week or every 2 weeks, pick a specific area, do some longer to intermediate observation and analysis. Fair comment, and I do want to strike a balance between the short-term items. As to the initial comment about the exercise of writing the letter yielding sharper thinking, I'm going to disagree on that, because I find that with that old format, I was very often commenting for the sake of commenting on an arbitrary deadline, and thinking, oh, well, we've got to have something here on this sector or that sector. Now I'm able to comment as and when things strike me as interesting, and I don't think that that's necessarily or ought to be confused with just a short-term emphasis. But if something's not doing much, then I can deal with it relatively quickly, and when something starts to change, I hope that I'm on it quite quickly. And of course, the bottom line is to make money with the analysis, so that we can all hopefully make some money by discovering markets that are reaching interesting levels where it's worth chancing a position. And of course, on the long term, again, I'll mention once again that Friday audio. Rob says, this is another Rob, I've had several Robs here. I couldn't agree with you more that the audio is a most efficient and thorough means of delivering your viewpoints. I also happen to like just hearing your voice, such a nice change from the American twang I am bombarded with 24 hours, 7 days a week. I've just got to, I really laughed when I saw that, Rob. I just got to interject that mine is an American accent, but perhaps it's now more mid-Atlantic, but I did spend the first, I calculated it, 43% of my life I'm in the U.S., having been born in New York. Rob goes on, the subscribers forum sounds good, but I must warn you a little, I think. Rob, incidentally, also comes from the U.S., so it's not an anti-American comment. The subscribers forum sounds good, but I must warn you a little, I think. It will depend on how freely accessible you make it to subscribers, but my experience with chat boards, when a person's own money is at stake, is that they deteriorate very quickly into mudslinging, foul-mouthed vitriols by some people who have access to Grind. I would hate to see your very professional website sullied by any such activity. My main point here would be that you heavily moderate the forum to absolutely expunge any such goings-on by any subscribers. I appreciate the thought behind that. We do edit the forum comments. Owen Tracy, who's going to be working with me increasingly, is the editor of that forum. I see everything that goes in, but I can't do everything in here with all these new aspects of the website, and he's very interested in that. So we do look at these first, and we'll of course continue to do so, but we're also talking about my subscribers, Rob, yourself included, and they're a pretty civilized lot overall. As to whether people get, deteriorate very quickly into mudslinging. Well, one thing you know is that I don't make recommendations. I just tell you what I think and what I'm actually doing with my own capital. I don't make recommendations. You've heard me say this before, but there are always new subscribers coming on. I don't make recommendations because recommendations for whom? Rob happens to be, an institutional investor. Am I making recommendations for hedge funds, or am I making recommendations for private investors? Are they young investors, older investors? Are they trader oriented? Are they long-term investors? In other words, they run the gamut. And also, it's a control issue thing. I don't like telling people what to do. I think it's a dreadful presumption. And so again, it's a shared knowledge on this, and thus my telling you exactly what I think and exactly what I'm doing with my own capital. And I try to leak that beforehand, say I'm thinking of doing this or thinking of doing that. And what you do know, though, is that if you do something that I've done and lose money in it because it hasn't worked out, it wasn't a good idea, then I too have suffered in that trade. And last of these, David, as a new subscriber of just 6 weeks, so I'd like to add my encouragement for the new Fuller Money format. I really enjoy the audios and view them as having daily access to a mentor who helps focus my attention on the markets. One of my trading resolutions for 2004 was to move away from trying to do all my own technical and market analysis and to access quality information from people with more experience in the market than myself. I still very much like to run my own game plan, but feel far more relaxed about my trades now that my approach is less egocentric and more balanced by the wisdom and views of others. To this end, I feel very fortunate that I found Fuller Money and wanted to let you know how much I enjoy and appreciate your commentary. In my opinion, your integrity and generosity extend far beyond just offering good commercial value. Well, thank you so much, and I thank all of you for these emails, but a lot of these comments are inspirational, and I produce the Fuller Money service for people like you. And I would just add to this David, who wrote this email, to say I feel that it's very important that you do hold on to the decision-making process, and from what you've said, I'm sure that you will. It's important that we all hold on to the decision-making process, and the way we do that and the importance of that is that we need to assess everything with a critical, objective eye, and certainly do that with everything that I say. You ask yourself, does it make sense based on your own experience and intuition and analytical intelligence? So don't ever accept anything that I say as gospel on this, or anyone else for that matter, unless it really makes sense to you. And the Fuller Money theme, as you know, is empowerment through knowledge, and I aim to help empower you by being able to draw on my experience and interest, and you people also help to empower me with your inspirational comments, with your insights, and also with many of the fine research reports that you send to me, and I then recycle those through the audios and in the forum. And I think I've drawn to a conclusion here, but again, thank you. And good evening.